Hello and welcome to searchcloudcomputing.com's podcast on vendor sourcing and vendor management in a cloud computing environment. I'm Jo Maitland, editor of the site, and with me today is Jeff Kaplan, who's founder and analyst at Think Strategies, an independent consulting firm dedicated to helping IT pros get the most out of cloud computing, managed services, and software as a service. Jeff was formerly a leading industry analyst at IDC, DataQuest, and the Meta Group, and an industry practitioner for many years. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we're hearing a fair bit about this idea of vendor sourcing and vendor management and how, in some ways, that can get more complex in a cloud environment. Tell us, how does the actual vendor-customer relationship change within the cloud?
Well, obviously, the first step of the change is the fact that we're no longer talking about just purchasing a product and having the customer have to withstand the burden of deploying it, managing it, and figuring out how to optimize that product. Instead, with the cloud, we're talking about a set of services, many of which have been designed intentionally to make them easy to deploy and utilize using the vendor's service provisioning capabilities. So the burden shifts a bit. However, what makes this different from its predecessor of a simple software as a service, where the vendor takes on the full responsibility for maintaining and managing and enhancing an application, is in the cloud, we're talking about a myriad of piece parts, which in fact the customer still has to cobble together to make work and meet their specific business requirements. So there still are a wide array of responsibilities that the customer needs to get comfortable with, and a new set of issues that they have to be thinking about in terms of service availability, security, as well as performance, and making sure that the right contractual arrangements as well as reporting arrangements are in place so that they can optimize the services that they're getting in all those areas.
Mm. And are those kinds of legal, contractual pieces in place yet? What's your sense of how mature that is?
Well, yeah, that's the issue. They are evolving at this stage. We are looking at this marketplace as actually resembling the early days of the telephone industry, if you will, when the customers weren't quite sure what they should expect, but over time their expectations evolved nonetheless, and we started to see more formal contracts or service-level agreements emerge to meet varying expectations in a variety of situations. That also holds true here. So we have a wide array, for instance, of what's referred to as public cloud services, which are somewhat commoditized, in which the kinds of service agreements you can expect are going to be minimal because the price point of the services is so low. But as you move towards another realm of higher level, we'll call them virtual private network services or virtual private cloud services rather, then there are certain expectations around performance, availability, reliability, and security that do entail contractual arrangements which lead to more sophisticated service-level agreements that a customer, whether they be an enterprise or an SMB, are going to expect to have in place.
So it sounds like you're saying you get what you pay for.
Absolutely. That's a good way of putting it.
Right. And then are there new types of services yet that if I'm a customer or I'm an IT business decision maker that I should, like, put on a checklist?
Well, you know, it's interesting you should ask that. What's really brought attention to this marketplace is the advent of a infrastructure of a service set of offerings from companies like Amazon.com, which have created such a flexible array of computing alternatives that were hardly imaginable 3 or 4 years ago, that with each and every one of them, there's a variety of contractual options that customers may be able to take advantage of. And those options, as I mentioned before, are rapidly evolving as vendors better understand what customers' expectations are. But what we're also seeing is a different set of relationships that evolve out of this. So, for instance, in the past, when customers assumed the primary responsibility of deploying hardware and software behind the four walls of their firewall and data center, they basically lived in isolation from their peers. So although they may have joined a user group of one sort or another, you know, they basically had to benchmark themselves against their own performance. Well, when you join a cloud computing service, so to speak, you're now joining a club. And some of the vendors are already getting pretty good at aggregating some of the operational statistics that they're seeing as a result of the use of their services across a broad population of customers. And they're now pumping back that data to their customers as benchmark statistics that allow the customers to actually see how their use of those services compares and contrasts with the other folks within that peer group. And that's representing a whole new set of value propositions and a whole new set of business benefits for customers that was not possible in the old world of on-premise systems and software.
Right. I wonder if that's enough. That's interesting. I see the value. I wonder if that's enough of an incentive for companies to actually make, you know, or it could be helping, it could be a step, but to help them actually make the leap into cloud. You know, look, we're actually going to finally get real data on our, you know, IT services that we've never really been able to do before.
Well, you know, it may be just enough to get them over the hump. Obviously, the first and foremost question is, you know, what's the economic value for me doing these things? The second one is, you know, what are my risks and what is the service provider doing to mitigate those risks when it comes to reliability, security, as well as performance? The third is, you know, what kind of reporting mechanism is in place and what kind of assurances or governance has been in place in terms of those service level agreements, and what kind of reporting and visibility do I get to make sure I'm getting what I paid for? But then finally, this new realm of benchmarking that I talked about could be an enhancement or a value-added capability that makes the move to the cloud that much more beneficial.
Have you seen, is there an industry body or association yet that's out there that's kind of doing any kind of rating of vendors or just observation on SLAs and...
Well, there's a myriad of things going on as far as that's concerned. There are some independent associations focused on some of the aspects of the cloud. For instance, there is a cloud security alliance that's emerged. And there's a few vendors, of course, who are trying to create their own standards bodies around some of the technological aspects as well as the service quality issues around the cloud. But the rest of it is pretty fragmented. Obviously, there's a lot of play around the various players there based upon, you know, analyst perspectives. But there aren't any industry-wide standards or certifications or best practices yet that have fully emerged, because this is still the embryonic marketplace that we're talking about.
Still early, yeah. On that note, Jeff, thank you very much for filling us in.
Well, thanks for having me.